I think section 5 still, God's purpose of grace. It's been a couple weeks. So, Brother Bell, have you been keeping notes? Because we didn't meet the last 2 weeks. I'm thinking we'd made it up to Luke in our looking up of the different scriptures. So, I'm looking for an amen if I can get one here. Does anybody remember where we were? I have mine marked at Luke in looking up the scriptures for God's purpose of grace. Or did we finish that area? I'm not sure. I think we may have actually finished it. No, we were up to Luke. All right, so I'm going to read section 5, God's purpose of grace again. Election is the gracious purpose of God, according to which he regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, and glorifies sinners. So we kind of broke that down before: regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. And those are all important in our essence of salvation there. It is consistent with the free agency of man and comprehends all the means in connection with the end. It is the glorious display of God's sovereign goodness and is infinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. It excludes boasting and promotes humility. All true believers endure to the end. I like that part. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves. Yet they will be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So let's look at starting at the Luke passage there, Luke 1:68 through 79. So I'm going to need all of your help looking these up. And now we're up to 2:29 through 32. So can you see how this is pointing toward the grace of God? It wasn't any other works that caused this to happen, was it? It was just the grace of God that brought this to pass. Now we need Luke 19:41 through 44. So this is balancing out his act of grace with the people's responsibility to respond, right? It made him sad that they weren't responding to their day of visitation, correct? And so some people take this thing of that God is so sovereign and he's chosen who's going to be saved and who's not, and he's almost like flippantly or angrily carrying out his judgment upon them. But he really calls for people to turn and be saved, doesn't he? He pleads with them. In fact, here he's weeping because they're not. We only find a couple places in the Bible where Jesus weeps. And so I think that's actually one of my favorite scriptures of the quotes of Jesus, because I always want to remember how it broke his heart to see the unbelief, you know? And it needs to break ours as well. So let's look at 24, 44 through 48. Well, again, it's showing God's grace, isn't it? And his plan, and his pre-planned, you know, way that the gospel was going to go out. The way we were going to be saved, and the way that it's going to be preached, and we're still in the process of fulfilling that today, aren't we? I had somebody tell me the other day that all nations have already heard the gospel, so he didn't understand why we were still doing missions. I'm like, well, there's continually, you know, new generations of people that are coming, so there's still a lot of them that I haven't heard yet. So, yeah. Anyway, we're still working on it. All right, John 1, 12 through 14. Got it. Boy, is that a display of God's grace there, isn't it? It's amazing. 3:16. You guys don't have to look this one up, do you? You can do it. All right. 5:24. Praise God. 6:44 through 45. All right, 65, verse 65. Man, God's grace again, right? So only God can do that work in the heart. All right, let's look at 10, 27 through 29. Amen. All right. 8, 28 through 39. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped down there. Let's see. Where are we at? That was 6:44 through 45, 10, 27 through 29, so we need 15, 16 now. Amen. I've had a lot of people try to tell me that that's only the disciples, because he was specifically talking to the disciples here. Well, then all of chapter 15 would be irrelevant to us. The part about the vine, the part about the branches, the part right there about how, you know, he wants to give us what we pray in his name. We don't want to nullify ourselves from that, do we? Yeah. But we got to realize he actually calls us. He chooses us, and he calls us to himself. We have a responsibility to respond, correct? And so in that, I say, let's pray that God will continue to do that in people's lives, because he said he'll give us whatever we ask for, right? All right, so how about 17:6? Joe, are you looking these up? How about you, Jerry? Amen. All right. Next one, 17:12. Speaking of Judas. All right. Judas served a purpose in it. Not that it was to his blessing, was it? He didn't sin because God made him sin. He sinned because that's what people do. And God just didn't restrain him from sinning. But yet it still served God's purpose in the end. All right. Verses 17 through 18. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're in chapter 17, verses 17 through 18. All right. Acts 20, verse 32. Amen. God's grace. Remember, that's our theme here. Romans 5, 9 through 10. Amen. And I think that verse 8 also demonstrates his grace, too. So go ahead and read that verse before that. Amen. All right, 8:28, chapter Romans 8, 28 through 39. can't help but try to do it to the tune we memorized it in. Okay. All right. So we got Romans 10, 12 through 15. God's grace. He even sends the preacher, doesn't he? All right. 11, 5 through 7. I think one more, verse 7. So it's a work of God, isn't it, to open people's eyes? And, you know, we see that, like, where Pharaoh in Egypt during the time of the judgments to bring Israel out of there, how they, at first Pharaoh, you know, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then it says God hardened his heart. And I can just say that if you get to the point that God's hardening your heart, there isn't a human remedy for that. I mean, it's only through God that that person's heart can be set free. And I think we see that in our world today, don't you? We see a lot of hard hearts. And I'm going to tell you, we see some really senseless stuff that's being done and spoken of. And we think, how could they think that? We need to pray God would change their hearts. Let's look at 11, 26 through 36. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2. We're going to jump a bunch of chapters to chapter 15, verses 24 through 28. we glad that our Jesus has that kind of power and authority? All right, Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 23. Yeah, we see God's grace all over the book of Ephesians. I know that's what I thought of whenever I was thinking of this area that we'd be going through. All right, now we want Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I'm going to read one. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, I love that part, but God, he's the game changer always, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love that. We need to, you know, if you're wanting to memorize some scripture, memorize chapter 2 of Ephesians. It's just such an encouragement. All right. 3, 1 through 11. It's all God, isn't it? It's all God. All right, Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Amen. And also 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 14. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy 1:12. Isn't that awesome? It's God's grace that saves us, and it's God's grace that keeps us. And he even keeps, like, everything that we've committed to him. That is so amazing. All right, 2 Timothy 2:10. verse 19 as well. So there's our responsibility, right? God's working in our hearts. He calls us, and then there's a decision that we have to make about departing from iniquity and following Him. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 through 12:2. Then we need James 1:12. Praise God. And then 1 Peter 1:2-5. Verse 13 as well. I always thought that was a funny way to put it. Gird up the loins of your mind. What do you think that it, how would you explain that to somebody? Get it under control, get it ready to think, right? So whenever they girded themselves up, they were getting ready to move. They were getting ready to go into action. And so he's saying, have your mind under control. All right, 2:4-10. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. Amen. Quoted that verse this morning, didn't we? All right. So let's go to 1 John 2, verse 19. This is true. And then chapter 3, verse 2. Amen. Well, that concludes all the scriptures that they gave us for this, and there's many, 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 many more. But what we need to understand is we see, I think, a pretty good balance through this, that you've got the sovereignty of God. We even have kind of an understanding of the word elect and chosen and things of that nature. And then we also see the responsibility of man to respond, and even the responsibility of man to preach, the responsibility of man to pray. We see the responsibility of man all over the place to separate ourselves from sin, right? Just like we learned about this morning, about putting off the old man, putting on a new man. If we didn't have anything to say in that, he wouldn't be telling us to do it, right? He's telling us to do it because we play a part in that. Our will has to be drawn to be under the direction of the will of God. And so I think that there's a great balance that we need to achieve in understanding of Scripture, to see God's grace in our responsibility in that. And it's God's grace that enables us to be able to take these actions. So that's where just continual prayer. Do we see just how important prayer is in all of this? You know, we're praying that God would work in people's lives in powerful ways so that they would see his manifest presence. And then we're praying also that they will receive that whenever they see it. And we pray that they will continue on in the faith, because all of these things are really, you know, I don't know if you guys see it as I do, but as kind of the under shepherd of the church, and I see so many lives, it's so precarious. But one of the things that really helps me is to know what Jesus said. Of all that have been given to him, he will lose not one. And that the Father is even greater than him. No one can snatch them out of his Father's hand. And then we read in Romans chapter 8, all the way through to the end of that chapter, oh, what a beautiful exposition of God's sovereignty to hold on to us. Nothing's going to separate us from his love. So you see, a balanced understanding of grace will help a Christian be balanced. That way I'm not worrying all the time and trying to make people follow God and feeling like it's all my responsibility. Or I'm not getting bitter and giving up and saying they just won't do it. It's like this balance of understanding that it's a God thing, and I'm going to pray God will do it. And then I'm going to pray that he'll put me in the place where he wants me to do my part and just to continue to be there. Boy, I had a crazy day on Thursday. I needed to help with a rent situation that we had a call on, and as I went to do that, I got there, and the lady wasn't there whenever I first called, who was the renter, but her daughter was. And then whenever I got there, they were both there, and the daughter had just found out that she had cancer, and so she really needed prayer, and I was able to pray for her. And then I left that place, and I was driving up 21, and I noticed Tanya and Chuck were out in their yard, and I thought, I've been meaning to stop and see Chuck, and this would be a great time because they're already outside. So I went up, turned around, went back, went up the hill. And then while I'm there, this dude ends up at the bottom of their hill laying in the ditch. I mean, talking about a chance encounter, right? It was a coincidence. No, God was directing every step that I was taking that day. Now, I had a choice to make. I just about kept going because I really wanted to get home. I had work to do. And it was really busy. Whenever I went to turn around down here by Dollar General, you know, all these hunters were going south on Thursday night, getting in place for opening day of deer season on Saturday. Man, it was so stinking busy. I think it took me 10 minutes to finally get pulled back out onto 21 to go, you know, less than 300 feet back down the road. But you see, we've got a choice to make. Are we going to follow God when he gives us those opportunities? And he taps on our heart and he says, I want you to do that. I'm so glad I stopped. Especially now, seeing where Chuck is at, you know, and being able to pray for him and before any of that. And so, you know, God knows what he's doing. God's awesome. And his grace is abundant to all of us. We just need to follow him. You know, so let's continue to follow him. And he says the harvest is plentiful. I think he means it. But the workers are few. I think he means it. But he said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into the harvest. And the church has been praying that for 2,000 years, and we need to keep praying it until Jesus comes back. Amen? And so his grace is going to mean that whenever he comes back, he's going to put everything under subjection to him. Isn't that awesome? And the last enemy to be destroyed will be the enemy death, right? Praise God. Aren't we looking forward to that? Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're following Jesus now and you belong to him, you're going to be among the number when he returns. Isn't that going to be awesome? Whenever it comes time for King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come in on his white horse and take back what is already his. That's going to be amazing. And so, you know, keep that in mind. Be thinking about that as you go about your daily walk. Be thinking about that when you get opportunities to witness. We get to be part of it. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Father, I just pray for everybody that's here tonight. I thank you that they came. I thank you that we all participated in this exposition of your grace. And I know that it's so much bigger than us. We could never fathom, like, just how powerful and how amazing your grace is. But we can catch just a glimpse. And so, Lord, I pray your grace would make us better servants of God. That seeing your grace and understanding your gift would make us more thankful and more willing to serve you. And many people will say that it will make people not want to serve, that the teaching of grace will make them lazy. But I know in my own life, the teaching of grace makes me want to serve more. Because I see this isn't something I have to do. It isn't something that you're making me do. It's something you're calling me to do out of this great love that you have for me. You're wanting to share this blessing with me to serve you. And so, Lord, help us to keep that in mind in our daily walk. We wouldn't even be able to if it wasn't for your grace. Help us, Lord, to excel in that grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming tonight. So what's the next thing we're going to study in the Baptist Faith and Message?